across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, April 22nd, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Sun's creeping up further and farther to the north, setting now over the lake where we can see it. Little hints of sunrise over on the eastern side here. Just gorgeous and nice to have you along. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I got a question for you. Do you have any idea if any of Wisconsin's members of Congress are still in what I would call the Putin caucus? Well, there's still at least one you can rely on, and he represents the area right here up north. We'll talk about that a little bit later on today. We've got to cover a lot of ground today. Got some great guests coming in. The Milwaukee Bucks begin their playoff run with a firm declaration that reports of their demise are premature. Not necessarily wrong, just premature. You've got the Brewers sweeping the Cardinals. Kristen Lierley's coming on. We'll talk about Earth Day. Selena Heller will be along with a bit of a look at how Earth Day unfolded here in the Chippewa Valley. Vice President Kamala Harris is coming to Wisconsin today to announce some new rules for nursing homes looking to avoid the kind of carnage that was seen in the early stages of the COVID pandemic. Meanwhile, Eric Hovde's comments about nursing homes are getting him some national attention, whether he likes it or not. So those topics and much more are on the way on this Monday morning. And as always, you can help steer the conversation with your phone calls or texts at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC, or if you're watching on Facebook, put a comment there, then we may throw it up on screen. 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin look to be in the lower 30s by and large. Lake Wissota here is at 33, Hayward 26, Park Falls 31, Hayward's at 30 degrees, Green Bay 35, La Crosse up to 39, Wisconsin Rapids reporting 31 degrees, Oshkosh 42, Madison 33, and it's 34 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we welcome to the program the guy who actually puts the program on air, so we can't really welcome him. He is the program.
Oh,
he just hits buttons, and then I show up, and other people show up. Greg Bach, everybody. Happy Monday morning,
sir. Hi. Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a good weekend.
I had a good weekend. It was nice. Yeah. It was productive. It had to be a good weekend, though, because of the way Friday went. Friday was, after the show, was not typical.
As you know,
on Friday, there was a big hullabaloo ding about a big cultural event. And after maybe mocking it a time or two, I had some of my younger coworkers from around the country on Slack say, "All right, smarty pants, how about if you listen to the new Taylor Swift album and tell us what your favorite song is?" So while I was getting my work done here on Friday, I played that whole thing in the background, 31 songs. you know the old Paul Simon song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? This is 31 ways to ruin your day. Just 31 negative nuggets of, you know, depression and boys are bad. And I think that if you are in her target audience, it's a great album. It's called The Tortured Poets Department for a reason. And she wrote it about some sad times in her life.
Yeah.
If you're there, if you're looking for a little, you know, Shake It Off or, you know, a little blank space or anything like that, this is not the album for you. So consider yourself advised accordingly. It's not representative of everything that she can do. Of all of her talents and everything else, this is truly for tortured poets. There's your music review for your Monday morning.
Pat Breitlow does not speak for Greg Bach or any other person on Civic Media staff. We alone have our own opinions on the new Taylor Swift album, and we would like for him to keep his opinions to himself.
which is going to make for a really boring radio show.
I can imagine the Swiftie army is keeping track of you, though. Like, you can, I feel like,
you know, not their like, target demographic. I mean, not their target. 6'11" and listening to a guy in his late 50s. I don't think they're.
And I mean, anyone who listens to this show knows we play a lot of Taylor Swift in the songs history and the bumper music and whatnot. And I think generally you are a Tay Tay fan, but this one just wasn't for you.
This one, no, not so much.
I'm just saying all this so any Taylor Swift fans
don't come after you.
Yeah, don't set my car on fire or something. Because
it's paid off,
folks. It's paid off.
Yeah, no, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. So yeah, then the rest of the weekend went great after that. So I did fine. I did fine. Did some more cooking and baking. My chocolate chip cookie recipe. Man, I'm telling you.
Is it on point?
Oh. It's coming along so nicely. The way, you know, just soften the butter to just the right way, pulverize the oatmeal to just the right degree. And, you know, then I made this shepherd's pie in a cast iron skillet. It was a good weekend that way. Things go well at the Laughing Tap?
Yeah, we had good shows. CJ Sullivan was in town. There were some fun shows. We had a rowdy Saturday late show, but not too rowdy. I mean, it's Saturday, 10 p.m. So people are having their fun. And then what else? So the Milwaukee Film Festival is happening right now. I think it's going for another 3 days. I think it's done this week. And I went to go see a film yesterday at the newly purchased, and they're renovating it, the Downer Theater in Milwaukee, the historic, which was closed. It closed one day. Like, all of a sudden you're like, hey, you want to come see a movie? Well, tomorrow we're closed. And Milwaukee Film Festival is taking it over, and they've reopened it, and I went to go see a movie there. I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a film written and directed by my friend. Her name is Fawzia Mirza. And it is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. It's shot in Canada and Pakistan, and it was beautiful. I was crying within the first 10 minutes, and I stayed teary-eyed most of the time. And it was so funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt, connects, you know, it's about a gay Muslim woman trying to make amends with her mother. And I am neither gay nor Muslim nor a woman, but yet I connected on so many levels with this movie, because that's what Fawzia does. She makes movies that are specific for groups of people, not specific for them, but she makes movies that star specific groups of people, but anyone can connect with them because we all have had these experiences in one way or the other. So I would highly recommend it. The Queen of My Dreams.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. Brought to you by giving a negative review of Taylor Swift's music.
Oh my
and
God.
Greg going to an amazing film. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. You are, and not even vanilla. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Well, you know, some would say fruit on the bottom. Yeah, that does track. Yeah, I saw a movie, Pat. Then, do you know what I did? I went home, played with my dog, and watched the Hunger Games prequel. So okay. I wouldn't.
It's not all high culture, yeah, folks. You know,
it's not all like pinkies out and reading the New York Times on Sunday.
That's right. Although I do, when I'm like, what else did I do? Why do I feel so good? Now I remember, put the Brewers game on for a time, sat in the recliner, enjoyed the 3-game sweep, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we'd worked particularly hard in the yard. You know, the weather was nice, got some yard work done, and had a very productive Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, it's like at least four different times I caught myself. I'm hearing myself like, do you know you're snoring right now? And a little voice in your head says, no, I'm not. I'm watching the Brewers game. Oh, no, I'm distinctly hearing snoring. Are you sure? Like, oh, yeah, my eyes are closed. And then you wake up and you go, oh, yeah, how did that happen? But I didn't miss much because it was a bit of a pitcher's duel for a while there.
Yeah.
But when all was said and done, you're sweeping 3 against the Cardinals in your division. That's a good game. That's a good day. That's a good weekend. And then the Bucks.
I enjoy when they win. I enjoy when they win against the Cardinals, and I enjoy when they sweep them. So,
Yeah. And then the Bucks, I mean, everybody said, that's it. They're done. Stick a fork in them. Mm-hmm. Especially with Giannis not starting game one against the Pacers yesterday.
Yeah.
Wrong. Wrong. Holy cow. Did they come charging out of the gates?
Wrong.
Let's get some of the details on that. Let's do the Bucks first. It was Damian Lillard. He could not miss. It was a sensational start. And showed that at least for that first half of the first playoff game, they were going to be just fine without Giannis, who continues to have a strained left calf, and his return date is uncertain. Lillard scored 35 points in the first half. That's the most of any Buck in a playoff game, first half or second half. 35 points in the first half, zero in the second half, because Indiana was like, we should guard him. And they did. They did a really nice job. He scored zero in the second half, but the damage was done. And the Bucks, who had led by 30 points during the game and late in the second quarter, ended up beating the Pacers in game one of the first round of the NBA playoffs, 109-94. Game two of the playoff series is tomorrow in Milwaukee. As for the Brewers in that three-game sweep, that came courtesy of a 2-0 win on Sunday. It is the Brewers' first series sweep at Busch Stadium since September of 2018, and the team now has the best road record in the major leagues. They are 10-2 on the road. Cardinals starting pitcher Sonny Gray had a good game, but gave up the only RBI of the day, and that was Owen Miller's two-run single in the seventh. I think we can hear that from the folks over at Bally's. Yes, sir?
Sorry, I just kind of got away from me there. Oh, here we go. And
line drive base hit, Owen Miller. That'll score two. The local kid, Owen Miller, delivers for the Brewers. Went back to the sweeper, and Miller, with his first hit of the season, drives in a pair.
Brewers starter Colin Ray gave up no runs on five hits over five innings with three walks, three strikeouts on just 89 pitches. The Brewers headed off to Pittsburgh for four games starting tonight. Joe Ross will start for the Brewers. You can hear the game. Pregame starts at 5:10 on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRGN and Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. So much to tell you about yet on this Monday. We're going to talk about the congressional progress on Saturday to finally approve aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and others. That and the update on the Trump trial as opening arguments begin today. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Paul Carrick's birthday today. Paul Carrick, maybe not a familiar name to you, but you've heard him not just with one group, not just with two groups, but with at least three different groups. He's charted hits as well as a solo artist. Details coming up in today's history lesson about a half hour from now. The House of Representatives approved over the weekend a $95 billion package of aid to Ukraine, Israel, and other U.S. allies. In a rare weekend session, as Democrats and Republicans banded together after months of far-right opposition about renewed American support for repelling Russia's invasion of Ukraine. With that overwhelming vote on Saturday, the $61 billion in aid passed in just a matter of minutes, which again makes you wonder why they couldn't get this done 6 months ago. It delivers a fresh round of U.S. support by a war-torn ally. Many Democrats cheered on the House floor. Allies waved little blue and yellow flags for Ukraine. Aid to Israel and other allies, also approved by healthy margins, along with a measure to clamp down on TikTok. And there were some unique coalitions of votes on all of these bills. The whole package goes to the Senate, which could pass it as soon as tomorrow. President Joe Biden says he will sign it immediately. The Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, relied on Democratic votes yet again to get something done in order to ensure the military and humanitarian funding would win approval. It's the first major package for Ukraine in well over a year.
It was the last aid package was December of 2022. And in true cartoon form, yet again, Republicans in the House played the role of Wile E. Coyote in a Roadrunner cartoon. Because recall, this was the group that when Ukrainian aid was first brought up around October, about the time the federal budget was supposed to get done, they said no. No aid for Ukraine without a border bill. And they went on to say, after the Hamas attack on Israel, no aid to Israel without a border bill. So a couple of hardline, rock-ribbed conservatives worked with Democrats to work out a solid bill where both sides had to give a little, but it was one that was going to pass. It had overwhelming support. Donald Trump said, no, don't pass that bill. So suddenly all these Republicans turned around and said, oh, no, no, we don't want this bill. Well, it held up Ukraine aid for a while. It held up aid to Israel for a while. And look where we are now. The aid for Ukraine has passed. The aid for Israel has passed. The aid for Taiwan has passed. The border bill did not get done. They had a chance to get everything that they wanted, and they failed. So just keep that lesson in mind for the crowd that calls themselves, you know, America first. They referred to this package of bills over the weekend as America last. No, it's not what this is at all. They're surely trying to find some kind of positive way to spin the way that they are isolationists and populists. The problem is they haven't actually proposed to do anything. And it's not even just, you know, on the world stage, but anything that would help regular Americans. Everything that they've talked about for the past 6 months or more is not so much doing anything for regular Americans, but maybe trying to scare them. You know, there's those brown people at the border. There's those black people in the big bad cities. There's those woke people daring to embrace higher education. There's those people embracing diversity in the corporate workplace, who, by the way, by and large, vote Republican and are conservative, but they understand the value of diversity and inclusion. But in the Wisconsin delegation, once again, reliably, you could count on the, you know, members of the Putin caucus to vote no. So on the aid to Ukraine, which passed on a vote of 311 to 112, you had Scott Fitzgerald voting no. You had Glenn Grothman voting no. You had Brian Stile voting no. Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden all voting no. Yeah, Mr. Republican there, Mike Gallagher, he voted yes and then basically walked out of the building. He put off his resignation, again, his unnecessarily abrupt resignation. He put it off just long enough so he could vote yes on the Ukraine package and now has left the 8th District in a lurch. We'll talk to Kristen Lierley in a bit, candidate for that seat, but there's not going to be any special election. By him just quitting, there's no representative there until next January. On the aid to Israel package, there were no votes from one Democrat, Mark Pocan, and one Republican, Tom Tiffany. Now, Mark Pocan has explained on our program, you know, his reasons why and what he sees as, you know, a humanitarian crisis in Gaza brought about by, you know, needless escalations of violence against, you know, citizens, against regular folks in Gaza. Tom Tiffany's no vote was the same as it was on the others, that there shouldn't be any money going to any other countries unless we're fixing the border, which he helped kill that deal, or unless we're doing more for Americans at home, which, again, he hasn't proposed or supported anything that has actually helped Americans, like, you know, the bipartisan infrastructure bill or the other elements that President Biden got passed, like the Inflation Reduction Act. On the vote for aid to Taiwan, Tom Tiffany was the only no vote on there. And then that fourth bill, which would force TikTok's Chinese parent company to sell the app to American owners or face a ban in the United States, if that were even going to happen. And frankly, given court appeals and everything else, I'd say the odds are slim at best. But on that TikTok bill, you had the Democrats, Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore voting no, and all of the Republicans voting yes on that. So that's what made for a busy Saturday in the House of Representatives, and things now turn to the Senate, which should pass it in pretty short order. So for all this talk about the wokeness, the anti-wokeness and things like that, there is, according to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, a conservative activist investor who is pressuring Kohl's, the department store, pressuring them over the company's philanthropic efforts directed at minority and LGBTQ anti-suicide organizations. The story in the Journal Sentinel from Ricardo Torres includes the note that this activist investor is upset about a $1 million contribution to the Black Lives Matter movement, even though PolitiFact has made clear that's a false claim. There's not been a $1 million donation to Black Lives Matter. There have been donations to a host of causes, some of whom may be affiliated with or supported by Black Lives Matter. But once you see the actual facts of the donations, do the people making that charge acknowledge their mistake? Nope. They just double down, continue to repeat the lie, hoping that enough people will believe it. They say things like, you know, these causes have been accused of squandering assets and supporting racism and anti-Semitism and highly divisive and dangerous programs such as police defunding and anti-racist racial discrimination. In other words, it's just a word salad of things like, we don't like that you're trying to fight racism, and so if need be, we will target your stock. And that, again, is all the folks on the far right have to offer. Extend the 2017 tax cuts for the very wealthy, vote down a border security deal, and go against anybody fighting racism in the United States. It's a heck of a track record to try to run on this November. Kristen Lyerly joins us next, and we'll talk about Earth Day today. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio on this Monday morning, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. Like we mentioned, Paul Carrick has a birthday today. Details in just a little bit. Kristen Lyerly joins us as often on these Mondays, who, even in the midst of campaigning, makes a little time to talk about what's in the news with us. Kristen, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning. It was wonderful. We had some great weather and some sunshine, and here we are together again. Happy Monday.
On Earth Day, of all things. Selena Heller will be here in about a half hour to talk about ways that Earth Day was marked here closer to home. I know we saw both in Eau Claire and Chippewa, a lot of folks in like these, you know, yellow vests out doing their part to clean up. And that was really nice. I'm sure there were some activities where you were working for the weekend as well.
Yeah, there was a big festival out on the Iron Range and lots of people out just celebrating Earth Day. This year, the theme is all about microplastics and the effect that microplastics have on our health and in the environment. Have you heard about that recent study where they looked at some microscopic samples of people's different parts of people's bodies and found microplastics in their aortas and in places where you would never expect to find these tiny particles of plastics? This was a game changer for the health industry.
Well, and I think that's a very good thing if it helps change some behavior. For example, you know,
the microplastics got Pat.
No. Oh, no. Is he back now?
There you are.
There we go. Suddenly I looked up. I'm like, wait, I'm not on my screen here. all right. Well, anyway, maybe it was part of the plastics coalition. You know, they're out to get us. Like, don't you be banning plastics. No, Starbucks has started using a new kind of cup for its cold drinks just in time for Earth Day, made with 10 to 20% less plastic, which they say could reduce the amount of plastic of Starbucks cups by more than 13 million pounds of plastic. The chain says it's trying to cut its carbon, water, and waste footprints in half by 2030. So, yeah, anything that reduces plastic, is a good thing.
We had Olivia Rita, who is the volunteer engagement coordinator of Alliance for the Great Lakes, on last week on Matt and Aaron Air, talking about this, and also talking about how, I mean, you know, and then we spoke to David Drake from the UW Extension about how these things not just impact us, but impact the animals around us too, like the creatures we share the earth with. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and so when we talk about PFAS, same thing, like the microplastics. I mean, there's just so many things out there. Not first, it was like just, oh, we're burning coal and that black smoke. Well, mm-hmm. we're not burning as much coal. There's still a lot out there that we could be cleaning up or doing better on.
And there's something that we all can do as individuals. So with regards to microplastics, think about all of those plastic bottles that you drink out of. I am famous for drinking out of a plastic water bottle. So now I'm trying to do my best to carry around my regular water bottle and just fill it up at filling stations or wherever I can. Yes, glass or aluminum, such a better option to try to reduce the total number of plastics that are out there in the environment, but also affecting your personal health as well.
Yeah. You know, I've had the same, I think it's aluminum water bottle that I've been using for quite some time. And again, it's just little things like that. Obviously, there's some big things we need to be doing as well. But, you know, whatever we can all do in our own individual way is going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. Vice President Kamala Harris is coming back to Wisconsin again. And last time around, she's been emphasizing and will continue to emphasize abortion rights and abortion care. That will be in La Crosse today. She'll have an event focused on the economy and health care. But I was surprised to see this morning that there's another reason for the vice president to come to Wisconsin, and that's to announce new federal government rules that for the first time will require nursing homes to have minimum staffing levels after the COVID pandemic exposed some grim realities in poorly staffed facilities for older and disabled Americans, home to about 1.2 million people. Kristen, I don't know, you know, your own exposure to or experience with patients in nursing homes, but I know we learned a lot about the challenges facing nursing homes over that pandemic.
I hear it from both sides. I hear it from family members who have patients in nursing homes, and they feel like their loved ones are not getting the care and the attention that they need. And I hear it from the administrative sides, mostly from the nurses who are working there and are really struggling with the staffing and to provide the care that they need because they don't have the dollars, they don't have the nurses' aides, they just don't have the resources that they need to provide the kind of care that they want to and that they feel drawn to do. So this, I think, is going to be it's going to make a big difference. The challenge is going to be staffing, just like everywhere else. We've mm-hmm. got a huge labor shortage, and a lot of the people who work in these nursing homes are low-skill workers, often filled by people, maybe immigrants. So if we could solve this immigration problem, which I think we've got a solution that's, you know, it's locked and loaded. If we can get this across the line, we actually could start to staff our nursing homes in a more appropriate way, and our loved ones would be better cared for.
You know, when you talk about speaking out against the Republicans who were for a bipartisan border security bill and then they were against it, the thing that is of note to me from your part of the world, you know, the 8th District in Northeast Wisconsin, is that for all the folks on the Republican side of the aisle who recognize the dangers of Donald Trump, so few of them are willing to speak out and speak out forcefully. You know, for every Liz Cheney, there's a whole bunch of Mitt Romneys and, you know, Marco Rubios and you know, Rob Portmans who should know better, but they just won't go there, you know, because they don't want to be ostracized from their party, even though their party is in grave danger. Now we get to see, with Mike Gallagher just up and quitting, if he's going to be outspoken about these things, or if, like Paul Ryan, he's just going to head to a corporate boardroom someplace and, you know, we may never hear from him again.
Hey, I have high hopes for Mike Gallagher. He's well respected in the district, and I think that he's stuck his neck out. He has bucked the party because he has a level of personal integrity. So we'll see what he continues to do. I think he foresees a future in politics. I think he'd like to come back. And frankly, even though I don't agree with him on a lot of policy issues, I think that he's a strong leader. So my hope is that he'll be part of that solution that pushes the mega extremism to the side and really helps the voice of the people shine through so that we can come up with some really important compromises for the good of the people.
I think that's a very good thing to hope for. The thing that either works against it or provides the opportunity for it, depending on your point of view, is that he's got these two Republican candidates in the, or three Republican candidates in the race, and two of them are about as Trumpy as it gets. And so that does create an opportunity for him to distinguish himself, but it also would create a reason for him to say, oh, if two of the three Republicans are complete, MAGA, I better not take any risks. So I guess we'll see what he ends up doing overall. Getting back to the nursing home rule that we talked about, you noted about, before we talked about finding staff would be affording staff. The new rule implements a minimum number of hours that staff should spend with residents. And another rule would dictate that 80% of Medicaid payments for home care go to workers' wages. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a way of saying, the executives are, skimming too much off the top for their own salaries, or will the nursing home industry say, oh, no, we can't do 80% of Medicaid payments, to worker wages because we have to pay for all these other things in the budget. But at least after years of discussion, the Biden administration is stepping up and saying, well, look, here's the rule. Here's the proposed rule and do with it what you will. But, continuing to just talk about it and do nothing is not an option for, again, the 1.2 million people who are in some of these facilities.
Many, many years of discussion. This has been a problem for literally decades. And as we've seen private equity firms buy up these nursing homes are not run by mom and pop industries. They're run by giant profit generating industries, and they are leeching out as many dollars as they can. They're skimping on care to produce profits. And that is what these rules are intended to prevent, to ensure that people get care and that people still make profits. Like, it's important. Business is important. But, it's not working right now. We have to do better by our people.
Well, funny that you say that about corporations and other entities in nursing homes. It takes us to a New York Times article on mm-hmm. Saturday over one Eric Hovde, candidate for U.S. Senate. And now the national attention given to his remarks that include a particular point that he makes about being part of lending into the nursing home community. Greg, you still got some of Eric Hovde's article, or some of his talking points about this. Let's give a listen and add to it if need be.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in that election that were very troublesome? Absolutely. And I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big way to push out, working with cities to push out Democratic votes. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
Okay. We wanted to play the whole thing so you could see we're not lifting this out of context, like he continues to say. And by the way, that was the second time in a week that he'd mentioned it. The first time was in a TV interview where he added this quote saying, look, I do lending into the nursing home community, or used to. And what he means is the California bank that he owns, SunWest, has claimed millions of dollars in revenue from its assisted living properties, including one where there's a residence family who is, suing Hovde's bank for abuse. Now, of course, Hovde's going to say, well, he wasn't at the nursing home. It's not necessarily his fault. But it really gets Kristen to, again, the point of hedge funds and corporations and banks, when they're running things like, nursing homes and other entities, they're not necessarily putting the people first and foremost. They're looking at them as a revenue stream.
That's all they are. for people like Eric Hovde, because it's all business. I mean, I would be surprised if he ever stepped foot in a nursing home or talked with a nurse or anybody from the care team or hung out with. There are plenty of people who live in nursing homes who can vote and should vote. It's important. So I find that Eric Hovde sometimes is saying things that you can tell he doesn't believe as he's saying them, but he's just trying to get those talking points across. He couldn't be more further removed, though, from actually caring for the people.
Well, and that's the thing. He was trying to have it both ways. On the one hand, saying, you know, I'm kind of an expert in nursing homes. And now that that's, you know, being examined, he wants to say, oh, no, I just run the bank. You know, yeah. I'm not actually involved in it. And, you know, like the Times notes, he's had a couple of different unforced errors, hardly the way that you want to be launching, you know, a campaign for U.S. Senate. Also, today is another history-making day in New York, where opening arguments will begin in the trial of former President Donald Trump, following a week of jury selection that whittled hundreds of prospective jurors down to a panel of 7 men and 5 women. The trial will oscillate, the New York Times writes, between salacious testimony on sex scandals and granular detail about corporate documents. And again, we'll talk about it on a day-to-day basis as far as what's in court, Kristen, but you know, this is going to be just kind of, I fear, like either the new soap opera for people to follow, or a reason why people will say, I don't want to follow this stuff at all. And then the challenge falls back on you and me and Greg and others to remind people that, you know, you got to care about these things, even if you got a circus like this going on.
This is history. Never before in our country's history has something like this happened. I think it's really important to follow, and not to follow for all of the sensational stuff, but to follow for what actually is happening and to see how the justice system is working in this situation. This is really a pivotal time for our country. And because we are approaching this really important presidential election, it certainly does have an impact on what's going to happen in November. So folks, this is important. Please pay attention.
I think one especially of the other things, too, to make sure to mention is this is another reason why Joe Biden and Donald Trump are not the same. So quit comparing them.
Yeah, it's definitely not a case of lesser of two evils. And, of course, the perhaps arguably the biggest question of all, can Donald Trump just sit still and shut up for a few hours every day while this is going on?
When he does, he falls asleep. And rumor has it there's some
that he's
gas passing.
Unpleasant to be around. Follow that as well. Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north. What a history-making day on Saturday Night Live on this day in 1978. The Blues Brothers made their debut, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, later becoming the first characters from the show to get their own movie deal. This rendition of Soul Man is from a later performance on SNL, but they made their first appearance on the show this day in 1978, the same day that the host, Steve Martin, performed a novelty song that went on to become a hit on the charts.
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people standing in line.
So there you go, 1978 this day, kind of a double feature on Saturday Night Live. Welcome to today's history lesson. Selena Heller joins us as well. Ms. Heller, in something very bright and yellow, was that what you were wearing for Earth Day cleanup over the weekend?
Yep, that's what we were sporting, all 1,500 of us.
I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
1,500 volunteers.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Uh-huh. I mean, Eau Claire should be so clean. You can eat off the sidewalks right now.
Yeah, and they're I mean, swept very well.
But it should be that way in northwestern Wisconsin because Clear Lake was the inspiration for Earth Day.
Oh, I see what you did there. Very nice. So, Celine, this is not your first rodeo for Earth Day.
Well, no, it actually goes back. I organized this event, a few times back in my days at the city of Eau Claire. And I organized the downtown Eau Claire cleanup. And at that time, we had 500 volunteers. And I thought that was a lot. It was my favorite day of the whole entire year because I got to stand up in front of everybody that came that morning and just rally. And they came to clean. I mean, on their Saturday. It was just an amazing, amazing day. My favorite day. And it was so exciting to have. And I thought 500 people was a lot.
Wow. I mean, listen to this infectious energy over here.
I love it. This is...
Yeah, I got to send out all these people just to go sweep the sidewalks, pick up the garbage, help plant flowers, and organize dozens and dozens and dozens of projects throughout the city that probably wouldn't ever get done otherwise. So it was so cool. And now 1,500.
How were we not putting you to work for this stuff for Up North News? I mean, clearly, I thought I was overworking you. Clearly, there's room on here to do more. More on today's history lesson. Happy birthday to Peter Frampton, 74 years old today.
Play some music.
Man was a juggernaut for a time in the mid-70s there with the Frampton Comes Alive album.
Pat.
What?
I saw him play in the Dells maybe 10 years ago, and he was fan-freaking-tastic, and I have never seen so many middle-aged white men up on their feet dancing in the aisles. It was great.
Really? You never been to a Rush show? Come on now.
Jack Nicholson. 87 years old today. Happy birthday to Jack Nicholson. Sherry Shepherd is 57. Machine Gun Kelly is 34. And then I've mentioned Paul Carrick a few times. He is 73 today, originally born in Sheffield, England. You've already heard some of the music that he was associated with. He was lead singer for Ace on How Long in 1975. Squeeze's Tempted from 1981. You'll hear him later from Mike and the Mechanics, Silent Running. And then he had this solo hit of his own from 1988. So happy birthday again, Paul Carrick. On this day in 1966, the Troggs released a song that was, well known enough in its own right. But then when they filmed the movie Major League at County Stadium in Milwaukee, now the song's forever associated with Charlie Sheen as well. Wow, can you see the crowd at County Stadium right now?
Yeah.
Just going crazy. Charlie Sheen with his big glasses on that he's figured out.
My grandma was there.
What's that?
My grandma was there. She used to work at
Your
County Stadium.
Your grandma was there?
She worked from County Stadium from like 1955 until 1990.
Hmm. How fun.
Wow, thing. I think I love you.
And then finally, and I promise you, Greg and I did not know this when we were talking about Lineman Appreciation Day on Thursday and reminiscing about it on Friday. And over the weekend, I learned that today is the anniversary of the birth. The 87 years ago today was born one Glenn Campbell. Oh. Is it wrong to play this for three shows in a row?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Especially if Greg and I can again entertain you.
I am alive for the county.
Come on.
What? And I drive the main road.
Thanks, guys. That's so nice. That's
searching
lovely.
The sun for another.
So what are you doing today, Selena?
All right. Happy birthday to
you. I will not be disrespected.
Glenn Campbell born this day in 1936.
I love this song, Pat.
So much.
Pat.
I'm not crying. Are you
no,
crying?
No, Pat.
I'm not crying.
I listened to it like another 30 times this weekend. I'm not even kidding you. It was just on repeat. It's...
Roger writes in, and observing Glenn Campbell's birthday. See, Roger knew this was coming too. I was old enough to remember after my mom bought the Rhinestone Cowboy album when it first came out. It was all we listened to for about a month because it was that good.
Yes.
Especially his cover of The Temptations' My Girl. So how we got to be a Glen Campbell stand station, I have no idea. But we're
here for it. Gonna,
yep, we are here for it. Let's see. Optical fiber was used to carry live telephone traffic for this day in 1977. Had they known this kind of nonsense was going down the wires, they probably wouldn't have approved it. And Madonna's Like a Prayer, both the single and the album, hit number one this day in 1989. So there's your history lesson for the day, complete with today's tribute to Glen Campbell. Tune in tomorrow when Craig and I will sing The Temptations' My Girl remake by Glen Campbell.
Or we'll just play Wichita Lineman again.
Okay, we could do that. I'm good with that. Yeah. No, I didn't mean now.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Pat.
Greg has developed a crush on the song, which
I did.
It is a nice song.
Pat is trying to get our younger coworkers into Glen Campbell.
Well, I couldn't get it. They tried to get me into.
That happened last week.
They tried to get me into Taylor Swift, and we see how well that worked out.
You're into Taylor Swift. You just don't like the new record.
Oh, that's what I mean. I still love her, just not that particular one. But then again, maybe I shouldn't listen to 31 depressing songs in a row. Maybe that's not good for you. I don't know. It's turned me into a tortured poet. Look, Kristen and Selena both looking like I'm not listening to that whole thing in one sitting.
The Tortured Pat Society.
I see what you did there.
When we come back, Selena tells us
we're out. We're out.
No, we're not. We have. Oh yeah, we are. It's 58:50. Oh, such a Monday.
Off the rails. This whole, like, having to watch the clock business is very painful.